Hey everybody, Andrew here. Just dropping a quick line at the beginning of this issue. I wasn't able to make it on this one, which is a real shame because I absolutely love the subject matter that we were covering this week. Legion of Superheroes, such an influential comic in the DC lexicon and so before its time, introducing great ideas and covering a lot of ground. Super cool. But to carry on the mantle, Cole brought on longtime guest Steve McCauley, had a great conversation, left no stone unturned. I want to thank them for that, and thank you guys for tuning in and listening. So without further ado, issue 247 of Hey Kids Comics, Legion of Superheroes.
The globe perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
Hey, welcome everybody once again to Hey Kids Comics. This is half of Hey Kids Comics. Cole Jedi Cole Houston here, coming to you sans Andy. It just wasn't going to work out. I think he got time bulleted or something, which is strangely...
Or bullet timed.
Oh, bullet timed. Wasn't there like a rapper? Bullet time. Oh, wait, no.
Hammer time.
Well, that is, of course...
Or the Richard Gere band, Hamster Time.
Oh, wow. See, you're barely even going to miss Andy on this one. we can play it as lowbrow as necessary, with or without you, Andy. But no, he is going to be missed on this because we are here. The voice you just heard is, of course, none other than Hey Kids Comics favorite Steve McCauley. Welcome back to the show.
And I'm a favorite. Hey Kids Comics is a favorite of mine.
Oh, very cool. Well, that just made my day so much. I don't even need to do a show now.
No, it's a pleasure to be with you, Cole.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad you could join us because without you, we wouldn't be doing this episode. Quite frankly, I would have put this one off. I've got this sucker pretty well plotted into 2020. I'd have put it off as long as I needed to, because this is Hey Kids Comics, or HKC, team up number 9, I believe, Legion of Superheroes, and we needed a resident expert on the Legion.
Yeah, the Legion's been my favorite team since the early 80s, I guess since I discovered them, and just how I love the fact that, for those who don't know, the Legion of Superheroes is a group of DC heroes that were introduced in Adventure Comics with when Superboy was the headliner for Adventure Comics. And they were a one-off where a club from the future came to recruit Superboy to join their club.
Yeah, that's one of the things, because this was introduced in, what, like 1958?
Yes.
So it has this wonderful innocence in its origin, yet, like Superman, can overcome the silliness, you know, by modern standards.
Well, and I guess, you know, it really is a product of its time. That I think it was because Superboy didn't really have any peers.
That's a good time. Point. Yeah, he was just like hanging out in Smallville, kicking 600-mile footballs.
And racing trains.
Yeah, and occasionally some bad guy would come
along.
Trying
to help his paw.
That's right. But, you know, there were few and far between were other farm boys with preternatural powers.
And, it wouldn't make – and I'm pretty sure of this. I don't know this. This is speculation on my part. But the fact that that they're in the future means you don't have to worry about, well, where did all his peers go? You know, because we already know about Superman and Batman and Aquaman and Flash. And so why aren't these
yeah where are the kids, those other yeah and you,
yeah these other kids were when they grew up what did they become?
And you don't have to Muppet Babies it decades before Muppet Babies,
right.
But you know where everybody Superman ever knows he knew when he was a kid. They didn't young Sherlock Holmes it, as I often say. They you know it
or
wasn't like
that matter.
Young it wasn't like young Aquaman. Why don't
right.
you just call yourself Aqualad? No, I'm young Aquaman. And one day I'll grow up to be a combination of Brian Blessed and Freddie Mercury. But also, this is just speculation on my part, but I'm pretty sure that the original charter members of the Legion, Cosmic Boy, Lightning Lad, or Lightning Boy, depending on which version you're looking at.
Yeah, it was originally Lightning Boy, then it became Lad quite soon after because of the alliteration, of course, the Superboy, Superman alliteration of the LL.
Oh, yes. And then, of course, Saturn Girl, I think they were all farm kids as well. But in the future, in the far-flung, what is it, 30-some-odd century?
It was the 30th century. It was exactly 1,000 years ahead of whatever the current year was.
I never realized that. That's
yeah.
So you're always like a 1,000-year gap there.
Yeah.
But in the 30th
but
century...
What's interesting is Superboy was always 13 years behind. Or... I think it was 13 years. It was always supposed to be. Although what's funny is the original Superboy when he kind of was stuck in the 30s, right up until like the 1970s, and then they realized he's not really progressing. So they did a big jump into the 50s for him, and then he sort of progressed until they stopped publishing that version of Superboy. So.
So he was replaced by the kid in the jacket. The clone in the jacket,
yeah,
I guess I
clone
should
clone in the jacket. It's Superman!
But you know, the thing is, farming in the 30th century advanced so much, there was nothing to do.
Yeah, it was push-button farming.
Yeah, so they just decided to, I'll build you kids a clubhouse back on the in the South 40 and just get out of our hair, because honestly, there's not even anything for me to do. I don't even know why I get up in the morning. But, yeah, thanks, Lightning Paw.
Saturn Mom.
Saturn Mom. Yes. Yes, it is. And then we completely devastated the Legion for everybody. But that's what happens on this show. But that's fascinating because I always, you know, I kind of looked at the Superboy angle as just sort of more marketing or to, you know, because everybody else was teen, it would be kind of creepy if they brought Superman back.
Right.
But I never made the connection or realized that it was kind of peer building, give him a peer group.
Yes, to give him somebody to play around with. Now, the original three that he ran into, like you said, Lightning Boy, soon to become Lightning Lad, Cosmic Boy, and Saturn Girl, they came back and sort of tried to, and recruited him to come to the future. And they were real jerks to him.
Well, I know that like the cover of Adventure Comics, they're all voting him out of the very lead.
No.
They invite him to come join their little club and then summarily vote him out.
Well, they run in, they have three, of course, everything, rule of three, and everybody splits up. But Lightning Lad and Cosmic Boy and Saturn Girl all have a different task to perform, and each of them does it better than Superboy.
Oh, I see.
And
so like so in the lightning conjuring task, Superboy fell tremendously short.
No, it was things like they had to capture a robot or that had escaped from a classroom, and it was a Superboy robot. So,
that's got to be a little creepy.
But yeah, other things like that. I think there was one thing where they needed to provide heat for the South Pole colony or something. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, I didn't bring you on for that precise and encyclopedic knowledge.
But then they say no, you, and then it turns out that they had cheated at each of their tasks.
Wow.
and they wanted to see how he, not how he would react. They just wanted to have some fun with him.
Those,
and of course,
snotty little farm kids.
Very much in the vein of other comics, Superman and Super Dickory stuff.
Super Dickory, I love it. Super Dickory is actually the title of my next album.
All right.
As soon as I get the other 9 off the ground, it'll be my 10th album. But, you know, that's one of the things that kind of fascinated me is that the Legion of Superheroes seemed like such a patently novel and sometimes, in my opinion, ridiculous notion, in that, at least initially, the core characters were always imbued with exactly the same powers as pretty much everyone else on their planet. It's like that we all came to Earth, so we would no longer be normal.
Yeah, I think it's inherent. It really makes it easy to determine where the powers came from, I think, is one of the reasons behind
that's
that.
That's true, because
so you don't have to have nuclear bitten by a radioactive dog or
perhaps caught between a couple of electro beasts. I think it was like the only origin story. Everybody else pretty much got to phone it in by accident of birth.
Well, yeah. So Saturn Girl, everybody on her planet of the Titans moon, or the moon Titan of Saturn, everybody is telepathic as a result of the Saturn's rings. And then
God, we knew so much about them back then.
Cosmic Boy.
Thank God for V'ger.
Yes. Voyager 6. I don't think we got that far, but okay.
neither did we all become telepathic by moving to Titan.
Well, who knows? We might.
That's true.
And then when we moved to the planet Brawl, B-R-A-A-L, for those Brawl.
Yes, it wasn't just like a constant fight or something. That's the planet Brawl.
Brawl.
Very different. I think that's where World War Hulk took place.
Yes, Planet Brawl.
Planet Brawl.
The Planet Brawl. <That's right. laughs> So anyway, that was apparently there were metal beasts, and so everybody there evolved into magnetized folks that could sling the magnets.
Magnetic force, yes.
Magnetic force.
We're the future, Charles, not them.
What's...
Oh, wait, that's...
That's really Magneto. Cheeto Magneto.
That's right.
But then you're right. Lightning Lad, it was revealed, had been attacked by the lightning beasts of Korhal, and that the... Or Korball, I think it's Korball, and he developed lightning powers from that. And then later they introduced that his brother had gotten the same lightning powers, and his sister. And so
it was really the problem is you started out with somebody taking a lot of photos, and not everybody was in the same photo. So
that's probably
so you didn't realize when you saw the panel of the origin there were actually other photos that revealed if you're at this angle you can see the whole family.
Yeah, they just had a real tight close-up on Lightning.
That's right. Here's the Spanish Inquisition hiding behind the coal shed.
I didn't expect the Spanish Inquisition.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Anyway, so those three, then Superboy turns around and does a great job of using their own powers. He creates static electricity to do something, and he does... uses the Earth's magnetic field to do something, and then he says something to the effect of, "I bet you're wondering how I did this," and then they all thought, "Oh my God, he's telepathic too."
What do you know? He read our minds, or perhaps he's just a mentalist, you know.
So anyway, then of course they let him into their club, and what's interesting is when they go back and forth, I don't know if it started as the 30th century. It may have been the 22nd century or something. It was very far in the future. But they did finally settle on 30th century as 1,000 years ahead of time. And And then, of course, they started introducing all kinds of new members. And that was supposed to be a one-off, by the way. That Superhero Club story was supposed to be a one-off. And they just DC was inundated with letters.
When are we going to see those crazy kids from the future?
The crazy kids. And what was funny was they had some showing in the background, but you didn't know anything about them. And I think that turned out to be Phantom Girl and Triplicate Lass, the two, and so
they were sort of forced to name those background characters and, and give them some substance,
right?
And then moved on from there.
Yes, and then what's interesting is I don't know that the origin was ever fully developed until much later, like probably 10 to 15 years later, where they had the whole that they saved R.J. Brand from...
That's right. From, yeah, that becomes the...
Assassins.
So he becomes the benefactor.
Correct. And builds them their clubhouse. And so kind of stumbling here, but the... watch this. Anyway, the they would introduce characters in Superboy, such as Mon-El and Ultralad. Ultralad has all the same powers as Superboy, only he can only use them one at a time.
Oh, that's you had schooled me years ago on the various Legion, and that one was kind of an interesting conceit on the whole idea of the overlapping power. Because wasn't one of their doctrines ultimately one of the tenets of the club? It was sort of like SAG. You couldn't have the same. No, you couldn't have the same powers.
Yeah, not the same. Same name would be really confusing.
Yes, it's so it's like I'm Triplicate R Girl. No, that's for SAG. She had to be Triplicate R Girl to distinguish.
I like to use X as my middle initial.
That's right.
Anyway, yes, that was one of the bylaws that showed up, and it makes sense as far as a narrative goes, or as far as editorial goes, because you don't want to basically have the same characters just with a different
face, like, you know? Superboy in green pants.
They each had to have different powers. Now, the way...
She's got a new hat.
Superboy and Supergirl were allowed to both be members, but since both of them were in the past, and they weren't...
Oh, so they literally got grandfathered in.
Yes. Yes, since they started the whole shebang. But the... Mon-El had a... Who was a... Daxamite, that Superboy that had amnesia when he arrived on Earth, and Superboy thought, "Oh, he tracked the rocket and it said it came from Krypton, so he thought this must be my brother that my dad sent in a separate rocket, and it must have been delayed to get here.
We must have hated each other as babies."
And so he named him, but he had amnesia because he didn't remember who he was. So he named him Mon-El because he arrived on a Monday.
Oh, I thought that was the Kryptonian word for amnesia.
Yes.
And I do want to point out that you mentioned him being a Daxamite. I have some familiarity with Daxam. And essentially, wasn't Daxam effectively the same sort of environment as Krypton? So therefore,
yeah, they had the red sun and the heavy gravity, just like Krypton. Only it was on another part of the galaxy,
and didn't get blown up.
And did not get blown up.
Blowed up good.
Blowed up real
good.
Mon-El was allowed to stay as part of the Legion because he had a different vulnerability. Since he was vulnerable to lead, Superboy was vulnerable to kryptonite. Then they added all kinds of new characters. Brainiac 5 as the descendant of one of Superman's greatest villains, Brainiac. Turned out that he was actually the descendant of a child that Brainiac had adopted.
Okay.
And then
that explains a lot of how Brainiac was making babies, you know.
Yes.
Computers making babies, y'all. I don't even know what that means.
I want to find out.
Yes, indeed. And then, of course, Chameleon Boy was
Chameleon Boy from the planet Durla. Could shapeshift into anything and take on the properties of that, whatever it is. He could fly as a bird, or he could breathe fire as a dragon. You know, very, very, very much late 50s, early 60s sensibilities.
Exactly. Much more versatile than Mystique.
Yes. But not quite as boobalicious.
No.
Anyway, all types of different characters, and they generally followed the whatever their power was, lad.
That's so true. Yeah, you had like Phantom Girl, which you could extrapolate where she was coming from. You could
Triplicate Girl and
Sun Boy.
Sun Boy, who originally was like Dazzler in that it was just light. But later included heat.
Okay. Well, they would expect both from the sun.
Sun Boy.
Star Boy, which, you know.
Colossal Boy.
Invisible Kid, and, of course, Ralph Macchio.
Yes. The Karate Kid. Karate Kid bruise on the inside.
Wow. That's a nice throwback. So, yeah, in fact, a good deal of the characters, you know, by the time I was really aware of the Legion of Superheroes, everybody was on board.
Yeah, and I was the same way. When I started, they had kind of fallen off of the such and such lad, such and such boy, such and such lass, and gone into, they had characters like Dawnstar, who was an American Indian descendant who now lived among the stars and was a tracker, and they had Wildfire, who was
Dawnstar real quick, because oddly enough my real entree into the Legion, apart from just the sort of passing knowledge one had of them when you go to the spinner rack at the 7-Eleven back in the day, was Dawnstar, who appears rather prominently in the first chapter of Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah,
and I became fascinated. Like, so I had to turn to you and ask, okay, what's with the Land O'Lakes with the angel wings?
Dear me.
I doubt I put it in those terms back then, but I wanted to touch on Dawnstar real quick.
She was looking for corn and got lost in a maze.
Oh, wow. Oh, thank you for saving my bacon there. But you know, what's interesting is that I think Dawnstar is probably amongst the class of the 60s.
It's probably mid-70s.
Okay,
so
I guess she'd be the...
May have even been one of the Dave Cockrum designs.
Okay. Because that would have... 80s would have... Or 70s would have put her right in line for being part of the Crisis by the early 80s.
Yeah.
But you have, you know, your original core characters and then a lot of your boys and girls... and then in the 60s, from what I'm finding, characters like Shadow Lass, Princess Projectra, Karate Kid, all come into play.
Yeah, Karate Kid, I think, was introduced as when the big Bruce Lee and the karate movie craze. Like when Iron Fist was.
Back when everybody was kung fu fighting.
Exactly. Actually, that may have been, because I think they introduced, actually Jim Shooter introduced.
Yes, indeed.
That you just and Jim Shooter, who later became editor-in-chief of Marvel, probably, I would think, during its heyday, or at least what I consider to be my personal favorite time at Marvel.
He came in during the heyday, and unfortunately... seemed to have been there when it began to lose sight of where it was going as a company.
I agree. Yes, I agree with that as well.
I mean, you know, we used to put a lot of the blame at Shooter's feet, but I think he was somebody who was very good at playing ball, even when it wasn't the best game out there. And yeah, but Shooter was 14 years old. He wrote a Legion of Superheroes story, and then they just kept him on.
Well, what was interesting is he wrote it as a comic. I mean, he drew it and did everything, and sent it to, I think, Julie Schwartz, who may have been the editor at the time. And it was so good that they thought, well, this is interesting. Here's a 14-year-old writing 14-year-olds. Because I think the Legion were all supposed to be teenagers at the time. And so he...
like Princess Leia on Saturday Night Live, they were teenagers from outer space.
Exactly.
More throwbacks tonight on the Legion of Old People Memories.
Do you remember Wonderbug?
Do I ever? The wonderful Wonderbug.
Anyway, but he actually was brought the Legion some real... I think he started matching what Marvel was doing at the time, but it was only in the Legion. You didn't see it in the rest of the DC comics. He had a character... He introduced Feral Lad, who could turn into iron, and he actually had him killed probably four or five issues into his... and then you saw the repercussions of that death.
In fact, it's kind of recounted as being the first real death in the Legion.
Yeah, well, Lightning Lad had been killed earlier, but had been brought back to life by a ceremony. You got to Google this cover. It has all these Legionnaires, including Superboy, holding lightning rods over his lucite casket, and I think they'd gone back to the lightning planet, and they found out that to bring him back to life, another person had to die by being struck by lightning. And it turned out that that Saturn Girl was the one who was struck by lightning. But then, oh, wait, that's Saturn Girl walking over here. And it turned out it was Chameleon Boy's pet, Protee.
Oh, Protee died from lightning strike by disguising itself. Wow.
Protee was telepathic and felt the huge love that Saturn Girl had for Lightning Lad, and so sacrificed himself to bring Lightning Lad back to life. Wow, and actually had replaced all the other lightning rods with wood or plastic or something, and his was the only one that would have...
So they were all shooting blanks.
Correct.
which really, you know, Protee's plan, what if you had to have 100% of those lightning rods working to get Lightning Lad back?
Well, no. They had found out that it only took one person.
Oh, okay. They just all wanted to play along.
And everybody else had... So they to make it fair, or...
Okay. So it's like giving
equal odds.
One person on the firing squad has blanks. Only the reverse.
Right. Everybody should have... that's what Protee did. But everybody thought they were going to die. And, of course... You see Superboy there.
Superboy.
And you're like, yeah. I don't think he's going to die.
Yeah. keep it coming.
So, yeah, but yes, Feral Lad was the first Legionnaire to die and not come back.
And in fact, oddly enough, one of the few one of the few superhero characters never to come back, as far as I know.
Well, after...
Of course, it's hard to keep anybody dead.
Yeah. Well, after Zero Hour, when they rebooted, they started over
all
from
bets
scratch.
Were
and
off.
Feral Lad, showed back up there, but
Barbara Gordon's no longer in a wheelchair, so you know why should Feral Lad be dead?
Exactly.
At that point, you're just starting over from scratch. Yeah, that was really interesting because I knew that Jim Shooter had started out at a very young age, but I didn't realize he was the one behind Feral Lad's tale. And then you were speaking of Wildfire being a tragic character.
Yeah, Wildfire, a character who probably one of the first comics I read of First Legion was his origin story, but that was in the early 80s. But I went back and got where he first showed up. It's originally called Erg One, and it turned out he was somebody who had been killed, had been vaporized, but was able to stay together as a sentient ball of energy. And they built, he inhabited a suit, like a some sort of hazmat suit that they had built, and was
with a flip up visor.
Yeah, with a flip up visor, and he could shoot his energy out. He was constantly self replicating or regenerating that energy. So, and in fact, he became so popular. Well, one of the neat things the Legion did throughout the years is they let the readers vote on who they wanted to be the leader.
Oh, neat.
And, yeah, and he was so popular that the first election they had after he joined the team, he became leader. It, probably the least suited to become leader. And so what's interesting is that it does throw the writers for loops in that, wow.
Now they have to justify this for one
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. And, but they can't really, you know, change the character completely. Later, one of the characters that we haven't talked about, Dream Girl, it was a girl actually that could predict the future, but usually while sleeping. hence, you know, and it yeah. was and it's a pun on, like, oh, she's my dream girl. So, but she became leader right after the Great Darkness Saga, or actually right in the middle of the Great Darkness Saga. And I'm sure that threw Paul Levitz, who was the writer at the time, into a huge, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Because this was a really do-nothing character.
Yeah.
She basically showed up and said, oh my gosh, something bad's going to happen. And then you never saw her again. Or,
you know, yeah. Back to bed.
Hang on.
Yeah. Call us when you wake up. That's right. Call us when you dream something useful.
You're going to have eggs for breakfast. Oh.
Well.
I could have told you.
Gee, I'm just staring right at him when you walked in. Good morning to you, too.
And once again, it's from a planet of people who can see the future.
People, yes, effective dreamers, I guess. And I remember
now, what was interesting was there was an issue where they visited Naltor, which is the planet. And so for people that can predict the future or have these visions.
For one thing, they knew they were going to visit.
Yeah, everybody knew they were coming.
And they stocked up on eggs.
Yes. And Legion lifting drink. They were all gathered in this square, and then all the other Naltorians left suddenly. And then of course they were attacked. And so it was kind of an interesting. So when everybody feels, oh my God, doom is coming, they all leave, but leaving the Legion there to be attacked.
Not exactly ingratiating. Culturally, her home race.
But the way Dream Girl explained it was when there's a feeling of great danger, everybody just assumes you have that feeling too. Everybody leaves.
Okay, so they're accustomed to everybody clearing the square.
Yes.
And they're rather surprised to find out later that their guests didn't bother to hoof it.
How rude.
What, you know, it was probably a song written along the lines of Mad Dogs and Englishmen after that to poke fun at legionnaires who can't be bothered to take a little stroll indoors when doom is on its way.
And also revealed that around that, well, I think it was much earlier, but she became very prominent in the Legion, was Dream Girl's sister, who was the White Witch.
Okay, I remember her from the Crisis era and
and the Great Darkness Saga. She had a big role in the Great Darkness Saga, and then she joined the Legion after that. So we're sort of getting into this was the pre-crisis Legion. They started setting limits. There could only be 25 members. Lightning Lad's sister tried to join, but of course she had the same powers, so Dream Girl actually switched her powers so that she could make things lighter.
Oh, that's right.
So she became Light Lass.
She had the feather as her sigil, yes, I guess.
She is of House Ornithology.
That's right. She has a House of Tickles.
Yes. Now later she regains her, when we got a little more sensible, she regained her life powers and was allowed to stay on with Lightning Lad there as well. That they thought that was a silly rule and that they would no longer follow it.
Well, especially after she was invaluable so often on moving day.
Indeed.
Sofas moved with ease thanks to Light Lass.
What fell behind the refrigerator? Light Lass, get over here.
Oh, it's just a walnut. You just don't want something stinky falling behind.
That's true.
Because then it's nasty, and especially if she's away. But
so one of the other members that joined Light Lass actually, and it, what's also interesting is everybody paired up. Everybody pairs up within the Legion. You always had somebody with somebody else.
Oh, that's right. And I remember was there like some kind of lover spat during the Great Darkness Saga?
Yes, Timberwolf, who was probably a precursor to Wolverine. The same basic, and I think that was another Dave Cockrum design.
Oh, it does have that very Cockrum feel, doesn't it?
And that may be his design. I don't think he was introduced with Cockrum, but I think that's his design that you and I were most familiar with. That was very Wolverine-esque. And
yes, indeed.
Work on his feral. He would go into a feral rage, very much like
Wolverine's
berserker rage.
Adamantium claws, snicky snick.
Yes, snoochy boochies and all that.
That's right. Oh, I see.
So, that first era of the Legion, in my opinion, is the best. You had some very admittedly strange characters. They had the Legion of Substitute Heroes, heroes. So every now and then they would have tryouts for the Legion, and every now and then they'd reject people because.
Well, the thing is that, again, this is one of those things that on the surface seems silly, but the fact is that decades later we find that when you have tryouts for this, you get the Shebangs guy.
Yes.
Or you get Infectious Lass. We just didn't realize how perfectly reasonable and brilliant that was.
Yeah, they were a meme before memes.
That's right. Oh my god, it's Legion of Superheroes! Oh my god! Oh my god, it's Matter Eater Lad!
Who actually became a Legionnaire, though.
Yes.
Same with Bouncing Boy.
Couple of your favorites. I called him Matter Eater Lad instead of my traditional Hey Kids comics, Matter Eater Lad.
Yes, well, thank you. Thank you for the deference. Of course, he's from the planet Bismol.
Yes, indeed.
With its moon Pepto.
It's big pink moon.
Big pink moon. Orange stars and green clovers.
And they're all delicious. As are the girders, the rocks, the hubcaps.
Everything's delicious on Bismol.
That's right. It's like that big candy room in Willy Wonka.
Indeed. But it's not really candy.
That's right.
What's interesting is that they had a character who could eat anything in Matter Eater Lad, and but... I think what's funny is these characters that were kind of silly, like Bouncing Boy, who had the ability to turn into a ball, basically.
It was like the least effective Mr. Fantastic.
Yes. Like, oh, I can turn round.
Mr. Fun, kind of ish.
It's Happy Fun Bouncing Ball Boy. Don't look directly at Happy Fun.
Which I will point out that in my studio, I actually have a Bouncing Boy Hero Clicks in my collection.
Anyway, Bouncing Boy is actually one of my favorites.
Oh, I know.
But by the mid 70s or so, they started doing things with these not quite so realistic characters such as Bouncing Boy and Matter Eater Lad. They had Bouncing Boy retire. He and Triplicate Girl, who had become Duo Damsel at the time because one of her bodies was killed by Computo.
And that was another interesting little thing, is you have a character who is effectively changed.
Yes. Her power. What's interesting is they, at the time in this, when that happened, and that was another one of the very early deaths, was Triplicate Girl becoming Duo Damsel by losing one of her bodies and being killed by one of her bodies being killed. But she kind of shrugs it off, and everybody's like, oh, she's fine. It's just two of her now.
Yeah.
In the later iterations, or actually, so in the 80s and then in the 5 years later era, which is something we'll talk about in a bit, it really affected her. And you never realize just how much it affected her, in that she lost it. What it's not originally, it was like one person that could turn into three.
Yeah.
Now, later, it became three people that merged into one. They were like sisters.
Okay.
It was like triplets.
So it's like conjoined twin triplets on a molecular level.
Exactly. And they actually, in some of the later iterations, work. Each one has a different personality.
Oh, interesting.
One's a flirt. One is scared.
Especially, you know, interesting if you're Chuck Tane. You know what I'm talking about?
Exactly.
Legion fans will know exactly who we're talking about.
That is Bouncing Boy, who,
for those of you who didn't know, who exactly
ended who we're up talking. Marrying Duo Damsel, and I think that was to, they kind of needed to shuffle those characters off. But
the thing is, he goes on to become like a head of like Legion training or something.
Indeed.
Which Legion, I thought was a brilliant maneuver when you were telling me about that like 20 some odd 30 years ago. That what a neat way to repurpose a silly character and give him some real usefulness within the greater narrative.
Yeah, so both he and Duo Damsel become teachers Legion Academy.
I was about to say Legion Academy, then I stopped myself because I thought, no, that's something else. No, I'm thinking of Starfleet Academies.
No, it is Legion Academy.
It is Legion Academy, yes.
Yeah, and so it's another place to have recruits, and they sort of stopped having the open tryouts. And basically, what they would do is, if you had powers, you could go to the Legion Academy to learn how to use them, and then when needed, you could be pulled into the team. If you're ready to become a member.
Exactly. Well, let's talk a little bit about the next iterations of the Legion, because we had the Great Darkness Saga, which was, you know, I was thrilled when I found years ago there was a trade paperback. And that was one of those things where it wasn't like Darkseid supposed to have disappeared from continuity forever, or at least into the 30th century, and then they bring Darkseid in as the principal bad. And
it was an incredible mystery who this bad guy is.
That's right.
That was what was amazing, was nobody knew. You didn't know who they were fighting, and it was vague enough that you didn't know. I think they did a
until you get the trade paperback and they give it all away on the cover.
Yeah, it's on the cover. Yeah, that's true. But reading it monthly.
Yes.
It was an amazing experience, because I had no idea what was going on, but these guys were kicking the Legion's butt. And then when Darkseid was revealed and he took Daxam, Mon-El's home planet, and transposed it with where Apocalypse was, I believe it was Apocalypse, and basically put all these Daxamites under his control, under a yellow sun, and they started invading the galaxy. I was like, how on earth do you
How do you combat this thing?
It was an amazingly cosmic set of issues, and I don't think I've ever and I know earlier in an earlier show we talked about my favorite stories of all time, and this is my favorite story of all time, the Great Darkness Saga. And maybe it's my rose-colored glasses, because when I was living it, I thought it was the most amazing thing I'd ever read. I unfortunately didn't get to read the Phoenix Saga as it was occurring. I knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
This I got to read as it was happening, and it just blew me away when they revealed Darkseid, and then you had the big giant battle, and it was galaxy spanning. They brought in characters from all over the place, and it didn't hurt that Keith Giffen, in my opinion, was at the top of his form.
Absolutely.
At the time, and he, given the 30th century, before the 30th century was this quaint looking sort of quasi Jetsons looking future where
that's so true, quasi Jetsons,
where everything was on stilts, and you had weird shaped buildings. But when Keith Giffen took over the penciling duties, which I believe may have started right before the Great Darkness Saga began, he cleaned up the future. Everything was lived in. It looked like something you'd see in Star Wars on Coruscant before we even knew what Coruscant was. But it looked, you had massive buildings together, and yes, they were weird shaped, but they were logical. It didn't look like things on little tiny spires.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot of space needles everywhere.
Yes, exactly.
And then you have to talk about Giffen at the height of his powers to get to 1989.
In 89, I think feeling pressure from Man of Steel, the Superman reboot, which effectively took Superboy and Supergirl out of the Legion. Superboy never existed. Supergirl never existed.
They lose all of their inspiration.
You lose Mon-El, even, because why would he be called Mon-El if there's no...
Yeah, because they changed the name to Solomon Grundy-El.
Yes, indeed. Or Tuzel, or
Wensdale.
Wensleydale.
Mr. Wensleydale.
So, of course, he couldn't be Saturdale. Saturn Girl,
it was so confusing. We're both here,
and Sun El wouldn't work either because of Sun Boy,
Yeah.
Anyway, wow.
So, I never realized how complicated that was.
After Man of Steel, they did continue publishing Legion of Superheroes for a while, and they had an explanation. That it was some sort of pocket universe created by the Time Trapper. And I guess sales of the Legion just weren't doing that well, so they actually canceled the Legion, the Baxter imprint that they had been doing since 84. They canceled that in 89, and it went dormant for about 2 or 3 months. And then they did a 5 years later reboot in which everything was grim and gritty. Now, it was another Keith Giffen. I think Keith Giffen was the one who came up with all the concepts. Todd and Harry Beerbohm, who were big Legion fans, became the writers. And things were different.
Very much so.
The team had been broken up and were being brought back together. One of the big characters from before, Block, who was basically a Thing-like character, Thing from the Fantastic Four-like character, had been killed by a crazy man. And it sort of, I don't think any of this has ever been collected. So it's very difficult to because I'm trying to remember what I read way back when.
Yeah, a lot of quarter bins involved there.
Yeah.
If you want to try to do it today.
So they did a lot of weird stuff. The Earth had left the United, well, not the United Federation of Planets. What is it called? The United Planets. And was actually being controlled by the Dominators, who were an alien race that the Legion had run into many, many times before. But then it turned out that those same Dominators had cloned the Legion at some point.
Oh, wow.
Or had actually...
clones were the thing by then. I mean, they had really... they were trying to supplant ninjas as...
Yeah, they blew up the Earth's moon.
Oh, I remember that, yes.
That then in turn later blew up the Earth.
Oh, wow.
So they kept getting further and further away from the
core concept. That was a dick move.
Of war, indeed. Now, it blowed up good.
I imagine it blowed up real good.
But you basically had these floating cities that escaped Earth and now were living in the asteroid belt or some, I can't remember exactly what it was, but they kept going further and further away from the core concept. It was revealed that the Time Trapper was actually Rock Kryn, who was Cosmic Boy's was actually Cosmic Boy. Very strange things. And finally it collapsed under its own weight.
Yes, but that was also the period everyone dressed like they were in Blade Runner.
Indeed, they were very grim and gritty. Now, some of the cool things they did, I thought, was that they introduced Andromeda, and they actually had Largand, who is Mon-El's, that's Mon-El's real name, they had him change his name to Valor, because there would never have been a Mon-El, because there was no Superboy to have given him that name. So he became Valor, or Valor, and Supergirl sort of morphed into Andromeda, who was a cousin of Valor.
So she becomes sort of the future analogs to Superman and Supergirl.
Or, I think, a distant relative, because I think she was from the future. She was not from the past. So. Okay.
And also, this was also that period, the Blade Runner era, was where everybody shed their superhero names as well.
Everybody went by their real names, which, now come on.
And that was also when the loose leaf Who's Who came out. That was one of the things that just turned me off to it. Every single, you know, I wasn't getting, I was getting Bryn Derlin instead of, is it?
Timberwolf is Bryn something. I don't remember what his.
Or I get
Bryn Londo.
Bryn Londo. That's right. Was there? You know, you would get all of these guys by their name instead of by their character.
Well, and they did do some weird stuff. Like they had Timberwolf. Sort
oh, that's
of
right. He turned into
giant fuzzy beast.
That's right.
But every now and then he'd pop back.
Oh.
Also at the time, Legion 89, 90, 91, 92, whatever it was, but it was started as Legion 89, was being, because at the time, the Green Lantern Corps had been disbanded. And so Legion 89 was something by Brainiac 5's, so Brainiac 1, or Brainiac 2, I guess? I don't know. Brainiac 2.
Of your various started, Brainiacs.
Yes. Legion 89 in 1989.
Oh, good night. I remember that.
And there was a switch, and it turned out that the Derlin that had been part of Legion 89 in the first several issues and Phantom Girl were switched in a time mishap.
Huh.
And so Phantom Girl showed up in Legion 89, and the Derlin became our good buddy RJ Brand.
Okay.
So, very, very convoluted stuff. there were a lot of weird concepts. They actually had the fact that I think it was revealed in that time frame that Prodi, what we talked about earlier with Lightning Lad, actually lived on in Lightning Lad's body.
Okay.
With his intellect in Lightning Lad's body. Kind of a big change there. They had stuff like one of the Lightning Lad and Saturn Girl's boys. They had twin boys, one of which was taken away by Darkseid at one point, but they had rescued him. Had a virus that was infecting half the galaxy, and they had Cosmic Boy and Shrinking Violet is another character we haven't discussed yet, but who could shrink? A lady that could shrink.
Inspiration for Microfish.
Yeah. Who had their planets were at war. It was some really, really interesting choices. And I was enjoying it until things started going off the rail with them blowing up Earth and having the Clone Legion, or were they the Clone Legion? Was it actually the Legion that had been captured and their clones had been released? You know, it was very much the Clone Saga with
exactly.
Except I think it was actually earlier than that Clone Saga, because when it collapsed under its own weight, Zero Hour occurred, and it was another reset for DC, not, what, 7 years after the original Crisis on Infinite Earths. So they had a Zero Hour, which is a time crisis, a crisis in time, and they rebooted the Legion and started from scratch. Now, I think this is the way the crisis should have done everything. I think everything should have started from scratch. I
don't think they were forward-thinking enough at that point, because it took things like the Man of Steel to really cement that idea.
Exactly. And Wonder Woman, the Wonder Woman reboot.
Yeah.
But I agree. The Zero Hour, I think, was meant to do that, and especially was meant to do that for the Legion. But they continue with the same numbering of the 5 year later Legion, and they continued with, and they actually there were two titles coming out at the time: Legionnaires and Legion of Superheroes. And so the stories went back and forth between the two. I really did enjoy that time frame. There were some things I didn't like. They did reintroduce Mon-El, even though Superboy still didn't exist. But it turned out that Mon-El was the Martian word for hero.
Oh, okay.
So they did.
This
get
is also
that.
During that period. Is this about the same time when there were four consecutive Superman titles?
Yes.
And
yes.
They all ran a coherent, more or less coherent thread, to the point where DC was having to put
the triangle era.
Yeah,
that was right up around the time Superman, the Death of Superman.
Yes, I remember
and beyond.
When Catherine and I had a piece of the Action Collectibles, someone coming and wanting to get some, you know, recommendations for things to get for, you know, a budding new comic fan, and like, I would love to recommend this run of Superman because I was collecting Superman during this time, but it is harder than hell to tell you where to go to find the continuity.
They put triangles on the cover.
I said you'll have to look at four different parts of the back issue bin.
It had the year,
yeah,
and then a number, so yes. That you could keep track of which order to read things in.
you needed that, especially if you got a couple of months behind. So going forward into the more modern era, into the 2000s, were you continuing to follow? Because we're coming up on well over an hour, and I don't care.
Yeah, I apologize.
No, I love it. I just don't want to keep you all night.
So once again, I think they went a little very interesting stuff. I agree, but once you get away from the core concept of what the Legion is supposed to be about, I think it starts to lose its way. And you get so far from it that people start going, I don't want to follow this anymore. Or they're just not picking up new readers.
Yes.
In this one, there was some interesting, the Zero Hour Legion, they had some interesting concepts, such as Princess Projector was now a giant snake. instead of being, because, and that was,
that explains the Legion snake I've seen imagery of.
That was, so it was a sort of an attempt to not, to get rid of the, not make everybody human looking.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely everybody's
the Chameleon Boy was the only one for years that looked any different, and that was just because he had antenna.
Yeah, he was kind of like
and he was orange,
like Scarlet in the original G.I. Joe figures. You know? The only one that would set apart from anybody else.
But they did, and they introduced other newer characters that were different enough. There was a character named Gates who was a teleporter that they had had him teleporting in and out. He was over long distances, but he was an alien, looked like a bug. But he could, he was also very prejudiced against humans.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was, I can't remember exactly how he joined, but it was, there was some interesting stuff. Then they did that same run did Legion Lost, where they had 12 of their team, or I don't know, maybe it was like six of their team or so, got stranded in another galaxy. And for 12 issues, it was just following that team. And people died. Element Lad went crazy. So it was Element Lad was one of the most gentle characters ever in all of the issues, going back. And so to have him go crazy, it just felt weird. Then they got back to Earth, and Earth had been taken over by like some sort of techno virus. I continued to read it. Don't get me wrong. I will buy anything that has Legion on it. So they rebooted that again. So once, I think that sort of collapsed under its own weight again. And then, so the next iteration was a Mark Waid reboot, and it was totally different from anything we'd ever seen. Now, Barry Kitson was doing the art, so it was beautiful to look at. But it was very much a self-aware comic. They read comics, and it was very much a youth movement. We're against the old guys, and it was a very techno-savvy team. One of the interesting things in this one, Colossal Boy, and they all did go back to their names of Colossal Boy and rather than Leviathan, which I think was what what he had gone to in the Zero Hour time. But Colossal Boy was actually from a race of giants, and he could shrink to human size. So when he was on Earth, he would say in his small form. Okay. And then increased to giant size. And I think they actually lived at the South Pole, the giants. I think there was some sort of, it may have been a Brainiac issue, like an issue with one of Brainiac's things. But then they had Supergirl join, the actual Supergirl who had been reintroduced into DC continuity. They had her join about 16 issues in. And then I thought it got 10 times better. I really did enjoy it. And then Jim Shooter actually started writing that iteration. And then what happened right after that, I'm sorry to just be, I'm just vomiting things out at you.
You are bringing the kind of history that I don't think I could have researched. And plus there's the love of what you're talking about as well.
So it's interesting. Each iteration of the Legion seems to sort of end about after the first set, which just took over Superboy's numbering. But it seems to last about 60 issues, or between 50 and 60 issues, and then it collapses. So that seems to be what happened with the 5 years later stuff. It's what happened with the Zero Hour stuff. Although that lasted of course, that became Legion Lost. The Mark Waid Legion of Superheroes reboot lasted about 50 issues, with Jim Shooter picking up the very last portion of that. Then Jeff Johns wrote a Superman and the Legion of Superheroes part of Action, the Action and Superman titles, in which Superman gets called to the future, and he remembers now, oh yeah, I was part of the Legion of Superheroes, which is interesting because we haven't seen Superboy as part of the Legion of Superheroes since the Crisis.
Yes.
So he gets joined back, and it turns out that Earth has been taken over by some Earth Firsters, and the Legion has been disbanded, and they're using Sunboy to change the Earth's sun to red, which keeps Mon-El out of there. And I thought it was really, really cool. It's about 5 issues, and that has been collected. But it reintroduces the pre-Crisis Legion. Same names, same characters, and ignores the 5 years later.
Well, thank goodness.
Yay!
Like most of us So let's go back really quick before we have to close everything up. I want to talk about a couple of points. I believe it was during the period that the Birnbaums were writing. Was that strictly the 5 years later? Or was that another period? Because
no, I think they wrote most of the, I think maybe all of the 5 years later stuff.
But did they write anything before or after that? That's because
I don't think so.
So there must have been at least some saving grace, because I remember you lending me huge stacks of Legion, and I seem to think that that's when they were writing. But one that just sticks out is one of the most fun things I've ever read was, oddly enough, featuring Matter Eater Lad, if I remember correctly, who was, there was some character he was captured by, he was being held by, and winds up like literally tunneling his way out of the dungeons.
Wasn't it Evillo?
That was it. It was Evillo.
Yes.
And then not only does he wind up gastrically tunneling his way out, but he doesn't he like wind up sleeping with Evillo's wife?
Yes. He actually Eiffel-Effel? Eiffel-Effel, maybe? And Sigun, the guy with the big lungs that was blowing the horn.
Oh, wow. Good night. I just remember it being fascinated by the fact that there was a, you know, this kind of cuckoldry going on in a DC book. It was very unusual.
Remember, it was direct sales only at the time.
Oh, but that's right.
To
okay.
me, that reads exactly that was Keith Giffen all the way.
Yeah.
I think Tom and Mary may have done the dialogue for it, but I think that plot was 100% Keith Giffen, because it reads like one of the JLA of the time, you know, the funny JLA.
Oh, that's true. That's true. He, as a writer, he did bring a lot of humor to the table.
Yes. Well, Ambush Bug is almost 100%.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And the Legion of Substitute Heroes special.
That's right, yes. Where they
got to Bismol and Chlorophyll Kid, who apparently turned fat all of a sudden.
Yeah, for the Crisis, he put on some poundage there. I don't know, he was just like eating scraps that Matter Eater, this is too normal here, but you eat this. Here's a Twinkie.
That established that Bismol had strict weight limits, that you couldn't weigh more when you left the planet. So because they don't want you to eat the entire planet.
So you had to fatten one of the Legionnaire, the substitute Legionnaires up a little bit.
Probably for the joke.
Absolutely. again, coming into the Legion, for me, it was the Crisis. There was the Great Darkness Saga. A few times when you convinced me, no, really, you need to check this out. And I've been very impressed with some of that. And one of the personally, visually most impressive periods, you spoke of how they were trying to get away at intervals from everybody being humanoid, was that period where you had, I think there were contemporaries during the time that Block was a member, but you had, Tellus?
Yes.
Who was the most decidedly unlike anybody ever.
I'd forgotten about Tellus and Quizlet.
Yes, Quizlet was
an energy being that rode around in a little ship, and then he could actually...
He drove around a toy rocket from the...
Yes. And he would... But he could jump into any type of matter and bring it to life.
Interesting. Okay, I knew of Quizlet, but I wasn't familiar enough with this thing. But that was a really neat period, because the Legion was just chock-a-block full of all these very colorful characters.
That was pretty much when they were in the Baxter format, between post-crisis and when they... And 5 years later, when you had... Because that was where TELUS was. What was interesting is in the 5 years later, they actually had TELUS... become a member of a cult. I think it was the Dark Circle, which they had expressed before, but they had all been very evil. And to have a Legionnaire be a member of
the
Dark Circle would be interesting.
That's like, what's his name? Mork's son joining the Bubba Love cult.
Murph
joined the cult of Bubba Love.
Okay.
With John Larroquette and Richard Mull in that episode.
No way. I didn't watch that season, but
I didn't either. I just happened to catch that one in reruns, and I'm like, what the hell? But if you're unfamiliar with the Legion of Superheroes, needless to say, there is a wealth of eras and iterations and incarnations.
And one has got to... There's so many of them that one of them has got to sing out to you.
Absolutely. It's like you had mentioned, it's kind of sporadic what's collected. A lot of the early stuff was collected in those what do they call those things, the archive?
The Legion archives.
Yeah, those hardcovers.
And I think they had, I think, up to like 14 volumes of that. It went well into the 70s.
Wow.
The Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes. The Legion didn't get its own title until almost until 1979. Every other portion of it had been an adventure, it had been an Action Comics, it had been in Superboy, and then finally they renamed the Superboy comic, which had turned into Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes, into the Legion of Heroes in 1979, and they've continued on since then. Right now it's not being published. With the New 52, Paul Levitz came back to writing the Legion. I thought they were brilliant. They did have to... Actually, they had just started it up right before the New 52. Then when the New 52 hit, they started it over again. They didn't reboot the continuity. They just restarted the numbering. Some really interesting stuff going on. And then when it was obvious it was going to be canceled, they did a real dark storyline where all of the technology on Earth and throughout the United Planets was being destroyed by a virus planted by one of the Legion's longtime nemeses, Therok. And as of right now, it's not being published, but I think things are being put into place to bring them back.
Oh, very good.
One of the interesting things in the very last issue that they did publish, it looked like they were trying to... And I'm not sure, I haven't read anything on this, but I think my theory was that they were trying to set that particular Legion up as being from Earth 2.
Okay.
The new Earth... Earth 2.
The post-crisis pre... well, very good. And I would normally, you know, in a situation like this, want to say, you know, what was your favorite story? But that's very obvious, the Great Darkness Saga, because that's hard to top.
It is, and what's interesting is one of the very first ones of the Legion I've ever read. And to just rope me in like that, and to become a fan for life. I probably started reading the Legion about a year before the Great Darkness Saga hit, but that really cemented my love of the Legion.
And then in closing, we have to mention the Legion quote-unquote tribute from Marvel and X-Men.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yes, we have to bring up the rear of the ugly head of the Imperial Guard.
Imperial Guard. Now, one of the interesting things is, though, the project that Dave Cockrum had left was Legion to go do X-Men.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So his the Imperial Guard of the Shi'ar, with its counterparts of the Legion, I think was pretty much a it may have been completely a Dave Cockrum thing, but I know he probably loved drawing all the different characters that were in the Imperial Guard.
Oh, absolutely, because it's kind of like getting to do the Legion and the X-Men simultaneously. Probably the closest we'll ever see to a Legion X-Men crossover.
True, although they had talked about that for years after the Superman Spider-Man. It turned out that the Legion wasn't as popular when it came time to do it, so they did the X-Men and Titans crossover.
Because they were, the Teen Titans were pretty much king at that point.
Yeah, yes.
Well, excellent, Steve. Thank you for joining us and just imparting all of this insane Legion wisdom.
Sorry if I there's just a ton of it. You know, it's been going on.
Good night. Yes.
For a long time.
It's been around longer than either of us. So there's that.
And pretty significant eras. You know, Superman. You can talk about the pre-crisis Superman, maybe the Kryptonite No More time frame, but pretty much between when he was introduced and the crisis, that's the same Superman. There's not a lot of differences, and then. You know, since then it's a bit different, but with the Legion, each time frame is so incredibly different.
Absolutely, and as a result, you get that kind of rich history and that little bit of something for everyone over all of those decades. And again, thank you for bringing all that. We genuinely did miss you on this.
I agree.
Because I think there would have been more than just a few odd dick jokes in there. We tried to fill in for you as best we could on that front, but there's so much more. And we hope, Steve, to have you on a future episode. There's a couple. There's one that has been basically suggested by someone who wants to challenge you on the best X-Men story ever. Or best X-Men writer, something like that. So we'll see if we can work that in somewhere down the line. And
okay.
And in the meantime, in closing, what are you looking forward to in comics? Because every now and again we need to inject this show with something about currently running comics.
Well, I'm currently reading the Metal event in DC. I'm pretty much a DC only guy right now. I'm getting Daredevil and a few other things from Marvel, but I'm pretty much a DC only guy. But Metal is going on right now. It's a very interesting, a dark multiverse and Batman is the catalyst for it. And the most recent issue was that I read. I think another one came out Wednesday, but it was Red Death, Batman Red Death. And Batman merges somehow, some way, with the Flash. And it's in Earth 52 where this occurs, and he actually shows up on Earth Zero. Yes, shows up on Earth Zero. It's a really, really interesting concept. It's sort of Crisis in Reverse.
Oh, interesting.
And where some of the heroes do get out off of those planets and that are decaying, but it's a dark multiverse. So I'm not quite, I'm enjoying the ride. I'm not quite sure what's going on. And I'm also looking forward to, although I don't know why, but I am looking forward to the Watchmen / DC Heroes crossovers, that's event that has been slow burning, all year.
Well, there's always that as well. I have my own particular issues with that, but that's another story. So thank you again.
I'm really, really hoping it's a bait and switch what I'm really, really hoping.
I'm just hoping that maybe through Dr. Manhattan you can get your Legion back.
Yes, and I've already gotten my Superman back.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, you know, because I've got the burn Superman, or the pre-52 Superman is back. So I'm pretty happy with that. I had stopped buying the old Superman, the 52 Superman, so I was pretty excited when my Superman came back.
And my Superman will be back next week.
Ooh.
And Andy will be back as well.
Nice.
So in the meantime, until we get to talk to you next week, which I believe we are going to declare a bit of a war with Hey Kids Comics number 249. Good Lord. No, I'm sorry. This 248 with our special guest, Michael Cross. We're getting closer to 250. Michael Cross will be joining us for...
Will 250 be double-sized?
It'd probably have to be, because I'll go ahead and announce it right now. 248 is Holy Batman with Michael Cross. 249 is You and What Army, where we talk about the big armies of comics, like AIM and Hydra and Checkmate and the like, and how patently impossible it is to maintain giant Dr. Evil armies in the real world. And finally, we'll also, on issue 250, Rick Gutierrez joins us. We're hoping that his co-host Matt, Andy, myself, Catherine, will all be a part of Amazing Reunion Cast. We are bringing back the band for one big night. We are doing an Amazing Comic Cast reunion. Literally the catalyst for this show. So be sure and check that out as well. In the meantime, read, collect, enjoy comics, especially look for some of these gems from the Legion of Superheroes. I hope, as always, we piqued your interest on those things.